And met with you on Radio Woken. Talking about Taylor Swift now, because Taylor Swift superfans can take their devotion to the next level by studying her lyrics at university. This is a story making the news. So I thought we'd look into this morning. We're going to be joined by Professor Helen Miners very shortly to look into it further. But for now, what can we learn from Taylor Swift's music? Well, we can take some life lessons about, you know, relationships. Oh yeah, and also, if you've got an umbrella and you're sort of wondering what to do when you've been in a rainstorm, she can help you with that. Shake it out. The other thing you could do, actually, with Taylor Swift, you know, she's taught us all about spelling, hasn't she? Just an excuse to play loads of Taylor Swift songs. Might get some full version of her songs on later on. We're going to talk about this now, more, Matt, aren't we?
We are joined by Professor Helen Manners, who is a professor of music and the head of the arts at York St John's University, to talk Taylor Swift and the new Taylor Swift degree.
Morning, Helen.
Hello, morning both of you.
There you go. We already know we can learn a lot from Taylor Swift. Spelling, life lessons, and what to do if you're, you know, get caught in a rainstorm with your umbrella. Shake it out.
I know, it's amazing. I'd forgotten she was a weather presenter as well.
Hello, multi-talented. We love it. So, a British professor is offering a Taylor-inspired English literature course, comparing her work with the likes of Shakespeare and the Bronte sisters, among others. I mean, looking at this, the first glance at this story, you think, what's going on? It's just, but then you look into it and you actually think that, you know, personally, I think this makes it more accessible. If people are thinking of going to university and studying English literature, traditionally, you know, Shakespeare could be seen as a little bit stuffy, a little bit inaccessible. But Taylor Swift, more people might relate to her, do you think?
Well, exactly. I think when you've got a university course, you want critical thinking, you want the detail, and you want the subject, but you need to get access to that subject matter. So if something's going to come from contemporary culture, something that a student's aware of, so from the student's position, it's enabling them to see the history and the past in a new way, because it's opening the door. So Ellie McCausland, she's at Ghent University. She's the lecturer that set the course up in creative writing, not in music. And she's going to use the poetry, in other words, the structures, the rhythms, the rhymes, the timbres, the feel of her text, to give access, yes, to Shakespeare, but also to people like Chaucer and Charlotte Bronte. Mm-hmm. So the module she's written in is specifically around English literature on a wider creative writing degree. So, I mean, I find this fascinating because some newer items have said, well, of course, this is a Mickey Mousing degree, what's the point? And others have really said exactly what you've done, that this is about critical thinking and opening up the door to think. Now, at some point, Shakespeare was modern and up to date. At what point does something become historical study worthy? I mean, she gained an honorary degree in 2022 from New York University for her music. Now someone's recognizing the lyrics. And of course, if you're a singer-songwriter, the lyrics are the core of everything you're doing in telling the message, or, as we've just heard, in giving the weather or telling you how to sell.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think for Taylor Swift, you know, her and a lot of musicians. So I was actually talking to someone and you sort of stop and you listen to music in detail rather than just sort of having it on the background. If you sit there and listen to all the lyrics, or maybe get the lyrics up online and read through them, you can see that, you know, it's telling a story in much the same way that, you know, someone like Shakespeare would be, but it's just kind of presented differently.
Exactly, it's really presented differently. So one of the examples I mentioned to you when you invited me to this was Mirrorball from 2020, because who else has thought about looking at a disco room but from the perspective of that ball, looking down onto the dancers? Most people think about the relationships, the eye contact, the movement, the bar maybe, the conversation, but she's situated the whole text from that perspective of the mirror ball, very much like romantic poets used to do. They'd take another perspective that was the non-human perspective to look on human activity and human relationships. So in a way, you could almost say she's a sociologist, because she's commenting on our behaviour through her lyrics.
Do you think that... In the future, if we sort of fast forward, I don't know, 400, 500 years, people will look back at lyrics and songs that are written in 2022, 2023, in the same way that we look at Shakespeare and things like that now, do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised, and for particular reasons. We've gone through a global pandemic, and the last big one was the wave of Spanish flu after the war. And the artwork that came out of that, talking about freedom, culture, and getting together, has been looked at in loads of cultural studies courses, art classes, and various things, because, you know, we live and we entertain ourselves and we do a variety of things through human life, but how we survive moments of difficulty, often we look back on to learn how to keep doing that and how to improve. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, when you look at some lyrics that she's been identified as perhaps being the number one song, which is arguable, but her All Too Well from 2012 that was updated in 2021 has been compared to some leading ballads. And because it's positive and saying, oh, you know, this is okay, we're seeing her updating her lyrics because of what's happened in the pandemic and what's happened. You know, she's referring to this sad individual in the song and then saying, well, actually, it's okay, we've got through the other side. So I think, historically, the lyrics say something about the way we've coped through our particular era.
Just imagining, looking back at like these lyrics and, you know, in all those years in the future, thinking, this is kind of talking a lot, it's a social commentary of what was happening in, you know, during the pandemic particularly.
Well, exactly, and actually people are already looking back to her music from over a decade ago. So when we think of Long Live from 2010, she's already being compared in that to creating an anthem that's comparable to We Are the Champions. So you think about Queen.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, since We Are the Champions was sung in the Wembley Arena in, what was it, 83, 84, we're already decades on from that. So we're already situating her in history through these comparisons. And actually, when we look back at the 60s, 70s, 80s, we look through music and fashion and what was on the stage and what's been broadcast. But it's more than just what's happening in one country. When we think about Shakespeare, Chaucer and Bronte, yes, it's English literature. When we say something like Swift, we're looking at a global platform because everything's streamed and broadcast and digitised. We can see how different cultures are responding to current contemporary popular musicians and how their music's gone on tour, because of course she tours live, she brings it to life not just through singing and writing but through dancing and movement and acting these roles out on the stage, and she's at the forefront of presenting her voice in all senses of the word on that platform. So I think it's almost got more relevance than it would have had in the past because of that global platform.
It's really fascinating, and we're going to talk some more. We might even play a couple of Taylor Swift songs, because I do like Taylor Swift's music. I think particularly what's the one that I like? The Anti-Hero, that's one of my favourite ones.
And again, just the title of that is The Anti-Hero. Most songs take the hero and focus on something else, and she's took a completely different perspective. So I think there's something subtle in her song titles, particularly around the 2010 era onwards. You get a sense of somebody who's really reflective and a detailed thinker. None of this is accidental or superfluous.
Well, we're going to talk some more, Matt's itching to get the travel on the go, aren't you, Matt? I know how excited Matt gets about doing travel news.
Always.
Yeah. It's no sarcasm at all there, at all, no. if you're okay to hold, Helen, we'll come back and talk some more in a couple of minutes.
Of course I'm okay to hold. You're making me think Taylor Swift needs to do a song about the travel now.
Yeah, no, well, maybe she should, actually. Maybe a duet, Matt and Taylor Swift. That's what we like to see. That's what we need. That's the collaboration we never knew we needed. We'll be back with you shortly. There you go. Professor Helen Manners there. If you've got any thoughts on this, get in touch with us here at Radio Wakey.
And we are still joined by Helen Manners, who is a professor of music and head of arts at York St John's University. Now, Helen, I was wondering, listening to our chat earlier, what is it that actually makes good content for a new degree or a new offering from a department such as the art department at a university? How do you go about putting one together?
That's an excellent question. Well, basically, at the moment, I'm actually doing just that, putting some new degrees together. So we look at what's needed in industry, what's needed in terms of the skill set going forwards, and how we build that either into a current degree or into a new one. So within my school, we've got performance degrees, we've got production media, film, We've got art, fine art, illustration, photography. We've also got a department of design that's got animation, graphic design, VR, video games. But I want to build in more AI. We need more AI skills. We need to understand how that builds in creativity so that we don't fear it as an artist. We can work with it and we don't, we've got a reason not to. But that we don't let it take over from us. So we're currently looking more at immersive technologies and how you could use immersive technologies, maybe in video games, maybe in animation, maybe in production and film, but also in designing graphics, giving information, communicating urgent facts and things that might support people's health and well-being and things like that. So we're developing courses that have the core skills you need in particular industries. So we align the learning outcomes, to use educational speak here, so the specific things we want students to learn, to outcomes that are going to be beneficial for their future and the global future for us all as well.
And I think I think what people are learning at university now, I mean, you mentioned AI, that's very much kind of a now kind of thing, like 20 years ago, it's, you know, things are very different, aren't they? Things change.
Yes. There's a massive change. I mean, every degree needs students to understand the history and cultural context of the subject as well, as well as being sort of, you can't future-proof per se because we don't know where technology is going, but if a degree does its job well, a student's going to be self-facilitating to problem solve, to keep learning and to keep researching and be able to figure out access to information so that they can adapt to changing times. And let's be honest, the only usual thing these days is change, isn't it? Things are constantly changing.
I think we met with AI and all this sort of technology, I think a lot of us don't understand it. And when you think about the idea of, you know, the fact that someone speaking to you on a phone may not be an actual human, or something you're reading is not actually written by a human, you know, that's, I think that's a bit scary because we just don't, it's out of our comfort zone, isn't it, for many of us?
Well, it is scary, but it's also figuring out how these things are programmed. So if you're going to ask something to write for you, you still need to put into it what you want it to do, what process it's going to take, what the end goal is and output. So even if AI is creating something or doing something, somebody's asked it to do it. So we need to learn how we program, how we ask the questions of these systems, because that will depend on how creative or intellectual they are. But at the end of the day, they're not free thinking. They're not going to be able to create brand new songs with the detailed lyrics that Taylor Swift's doing. Because if you're programming something, as the technology currently stands, we're programming, it will compare song lyrics as an example. So if it produces something new, it's producing it in comparison to what it knows about already. So it's not necessarily going to take that leap forward to something brand new. It might be paraphrasing and adapting. The technology is on the tipping point, isn't it, to the next step, really? So I don't think any of us fully understand it, but that's part of learning and part of experimenting with it.
Absolutely. And it's good to know that humans aren't going to be redundant just yet, you know. we still have our uses. But actually, looking at, you know, Professor McCausland, who's a big Taylor Swift fan, and you sort of think, you know, she's sort of putting this course together, and you think, you know, with your job, you're a professor of music, you're sort of thinking, oh, it's all going to be highbrow classical music. But I know from speaking to you in the past that, you know, your taste of music is very eclectic, isn't it?
Well, I think that's the thing. If you've got a true degree course that's focused on the student's future, then you need to include a really diverse range of materials, whatever the subject is, because that is the only true way to be flexible, adaptive and critical for your future. So, you know, I mean, I would bring in a variety of different world music, popular music, classical music, folk, electronica, all sorts of things. But music's music. You know, if you're looking at creative writing and literature, then the question asks, what makes it's not literature? And anything that's literature should be able to be included. So I have to talk, as we discussed before, about an inclusive curriculum. And really the question is, what's relevant to the individual? Because then you get to choose what you're looking at, don't you?
Yeah, just looking at some of the stuff on social media, people are saying about the idea of Taylor Swift and this sort of degree, which is going to be like an add-on degree to a course and a springboard, as we discussed, to exploring, you know, literature. But people on social media are, you know, talking about, you know, we're dumbing down for future generations. We're comparing classic literature or poetry to Taylor Swift songs now. I mean, what's your sort of response to those sort of comments?
I don't think we're dumbing down at all, because if you're going to look at a range, I mean, she's written over 150 songs, so it's a massive amount of literature. It's comparable on scale with these classics that we're talking about. If you're looking at structure, or you're looking at a sonnet, or rhyming couplets, or tertiary form that's three-part structure, you can do that on anything, including Taylor Swift, or to go back to Shakespeare. So with language, and the English languages have changed over the centuries. Language develops. We are not speaking the same as we did in Shakespeare's time. So actually we're giving a currency to our current language and considering how we experience our life through art. But also, if it's opening the door to history, it's giving new relevance to historical. So I would say actually it's giving more detail and more access to those more traditional classical elements than we would have otherwise.
I think I agree with you. As we said, makes it more accessible and makes people sort of stand up and think, oh, Taylor Swift, and then you can go from there and use it as that springboard. And what I love, I'm just looking at the tabloid newspapers. I love sort of how they do all these stories. They put a picture, a little mock-up, how Taylor Swift would look as Shakespeare. That's quite an image.
I have to say that this conversation has changed my mind, because I was a bit on the fence, or a bit like, well, it's a celebrity degree, you're learning about a particular celebrity. Actually, there's many different ways and reasons you would use Taylor Swift to do that, and I understand a bit more now, and I'm changing my opinion.
Yeah, if you're in business studies, she might be an example. Well, how do you run an event? You know, looking at the big events of Taylor Swift and Beyonce is relevant. If you're in marketing, or you're in branding or fashion, they're relevant to look at. Then you can look at musical structure. You could look at recording history as well as the text. But essentially, a sociologist or anybody looking at human behaviour, an anthropologist in the future, might want to look back and think, well, how music can experience emotion together.
It's a really, really interesting topic, and I guess the question is, to Tay or not to Tay? That's the question, isn't it? You know, see what I've done there. Anyway, I nicked that one from the paper, but there you go.
You're trying too hard.
I like a good pun. The other big story, of course, the Lioness is getting ready for kickoff in about 16 minutes. What are your thoughts on that, once we've got you on, Helen? The Lioness is reaching the final.
I'm going into the song Raw now for a different reason. I think the Lioness is, I know in the newspaper saying let them roar. Well, we've not won, have we, since 1966 with the male version of football. It'd be great if they win. And it's been really positive, I think, to see royal family and politicians sending best wishes without actually wasting the carbon to travel there, unlike the rest of us are streaming it and watching it online. Good luck to them. I think it's going to be really good fun. I think they're great role models for women, because we're now able to show our young girls that there are other opportunities than there were in the past. Something else that Taylor Swift says, I mean, her song Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, I mean, let's go out there and achieve and hope it's not Would Have, Could Have, Should Have.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So fingers crossed for the Lionesses. But I think the fact, whatever happens, that they've got this far, they've got to the final, I think, you know, that's really opening up the doors for women who want to get into sport and want to get into football. So, you know, there's definitely a positive there, hopefully, for future generations.
It's absolutely excellent, isn't it? And to beat the home team on their own turf is quite unusual as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting, apparently in Australia there's not much media coverage of a final now. That was quite interesting. So,
that's a surprise.
Where are you going to be watching the football? Are you going to be watching it? What are you going to be doing?
At the minute, we're ticking the clock down, aren't we? It's about 15 minutes away.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you enjoy the match, and thank you, Helen. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's really interesting to explore the works of Taylor Swift, and we're going to play a Taylor Swift song now, which is, I mentioned, one of my favourites, Anti-Hero. But Helen, thank you so much, and enjoy this
Thanks
weekend.
For having me,
Martin. Thank you very much. Bye, Helen. There we go. That's Professor Helen Miners there from York St John University.